Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. All right, everybody, jump on in the broadcast. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Thank you for being here tonight. It's going to be amazing. When you can hear me and see me, let me know in the chat. When you can hear me and see me, type something in the chat as my thing loads. Expecting the presence and the power of God. I see you, Josiah. First comment of the night since we've been live, Josiah. Welcome, brother. Let me know in the comments where you guys are watching from. I'm expecting the Holy Spirit to move. We're going to give everyone a second to get in. We have a very important message tonight. I know I feel like I say that all the time, like this is the most important message ever, but the Bible is. The gospel is. The messages and the things that Jesus taught are. But tonight, like last week, is specifically important, and you're going to find out why here in a minute. But I want you guys to like the broadcast. It helps us out a lot. If you guys like, tomorrow night, we have the Demon Slayer podcast. So we do these like once every, used to be every month. Now it's like 2 to 3 months. Everybody's super busy. We're going to be answering the most controversial questions we get asked. Not only will we be taking questions from the live chat, if you go on my Instagram or Facebook or YouTube community tab and comment your question, we're going to be answering a bunch of those questions, so you don't want to miss that. Thank you all for being here. I don't take you for granted. It's going to be an amazing time tonight. I have a lot of stuff to share. But before we do all that, for old time's sake, we have a breaking news announcement. We haven't done this in years. Like the video. Share the video. Comment on the video. Do not leave until the very end of this broadcast. This is breaking news coming to you live, California. Help us get the word out there. If you're watching from your laptop, stop right now. Do what this guy's doing. Click that little like button. That's going to help us out a lot. If you're sitting back at home, some of you are watching TV or watching me on the TV as she shakes her head, you can like from your phone. If you're watching, I don't know if you can, but if you're watching on your Apple Watch, is that even possible? You can still tap something on the Apple Watch. You're probably watching on your cell phone. So if you're watching on your cell phone, just click the like, hit the share somewhere right there. That's going to help us out a lot as we start the broadcast, as we get in tonight. It's going to be an amazing night. I have a lot to go over with you guys. If you're an OG of the channel, I used to do that every single week. I'm going to do more fun stuff. I'm boring now. I'm getting old. I'm not doing all the fun stuff I used to do. I'm getting old. But we're going to jump into this, guys. We have a lot to go over tonight. Last week, if you missed it, which these live streams, the algorithm is not favoring live streams, which means they're not putting them out to all of the people that subscribe to us and to the algorithm. So the live streams are getting like 40, 50, 100,000 views. Now they're getting like 15 to 20,000, which is why I'm starting to take some of the clips and post them to try to get into the videos algorithm. It is what it is. If you were here last week, if you weren't, go watch the stream from last week. We talked about the most important person in existence. Not force, not figure, not spooky, floating around. No, the most important person in existence is the Holy Spirit. Very, very key. If you don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you're missing out. In fact, if you don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you're probably not a Christian. So we have to get connected. So that was last week. This week, we're going to talk about the most important day in existence and the most important day of your life that every single person will experience. It's not talked about enough. I've talked about it several times on the channel, and some of the stuff will be review. And here's what I want to break out of. I have this thing where I'm like, I can't review anything. I can't share a sermon I've already shared. I can't talk about something I've already talked about. I need to break out of that, because this stuff we need to keep talking about. Like Judgment Day, which is what we're talking about tonight, we need to continue to review it, continue to preach about it, continue to talk about it. Same goes for repentance. Same goes for the miracle power of God. Same goes for the blood of Jesus. Same goes for eternity. Same goes for preaching on deliverance. We can't get enough of this stuff. We need this conviction in our life. So some of the stuff will be review. Oh, well, you probably need to hear it again. You probably need to hear it again and again and again and again and again. And this is something when I prayed, the Lord's like, I want you to talk about Judgment Day, because so this is what I feel like the Lord impressed on my heart. So many Christians are not ready. They're not prepared for Judgment Day. They're not prepared for the one-on-one they're going to have with God in eternity, where you're going to take an account for your life. Can you think of a more important day than that? Can you think of a more significant moment than the day I stand before God? I mean, this is scary stuff. And take account for everything I've done in this life, for every idle word. So we need to talk about it, look at scriptures that have to do with it. It's the most important day. Why would we not prepare for it? We prepare for everything else, as I've said a million times. Like your dream job, you prepared for that interview. but we don't prepare for the interview that God is going to give us on Judgment Day. Now, some Christians erroneously teach that Judgment Day doesn't matter for the believer. That's the farthest thing from the truth. As a believer, if we are truly saved, of course, there won't be a judgment on salvation. There will be a judgment on our works. Okay, this life is a test, a quick test. There's coming a day at any moment where the Lord's going to say, put the pencils down, put the pens down, and we're going to receive judgment. This is going to be the final exam where the Lord looks over our life. Is this bringing fear to you? It should. This is what we've lost, the fear of the Lord. People are like, I'm scared when I watch your broadcast. We have lost the fear of the Lord in the church. We no longer fear God. Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord. I should not be preaching this. I'm already sweating. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So we have to have a healthy fear of God that holds our soul in his hand, that this is going to happen one day. Have you considered what that day will be like? Maybe you think about it once a month. Maybe you think about it once every 6 months. Maybe you think about it once a year. Maybe you've never thought about it. Maybe you're too afraid. Friend, start thinking about it. Start stressing out about it. Start worrying about it. I said, don't tell people to stress. What? You should be stressed, especially if we're living lifestyles that are contrary to the word of God. Especially if we're living lifestyles where there is no evidence of our salvation, where there is no evidence that we're Christians. We should be stressed about the fact that one day the veil is going to be lifted and everything you've hidden is going to be brought to the light. Everything that you think, hear me loud and clear, share this broadcast, you think that nobody knows about, God's going to bring it to the light. You thought that you hid from your friends and family. Every single one of you will stand before God. No one is exempt. No one is escaping. We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Lots of verses tonight. Hebrews 9:27. And just as it is appointed for a man to die once, and after that comes the judgment. So immediately after death, we go before the judgment seat of Christ. For the believer, again, it's not a judgment of salvation. It's a judgment of works. For the unbeliever, it's a sentencing to Hades. It's a sentencing to hell. There's no purgatory. There's no floating around after. There's no, I'm going to go to purgatory and work my way out of this. No. It's appointed for man to die once, then comes the judgment. What happens after death? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever heard about that? Has anybody ever preached that to you? Does that cross your mind? What happens after I die when I breathe this last breath? The Bible makes it clear. What happens after death? Pray for my connection because it looks like my internet's going out. We rebuke these internet demons in Jesus' name. What happens after death is then comes the judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10. We all must appear. ALL. Everyone must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Here's what's going to happen. Each one may receive what is due for what he's done in the body, whether good or evil. You're in the body right now. All right. We're in the body. So we are going to receive what is due to us. You're going to get something on judgment day, whether it's something good or whether you did something evil. Every single one of you will appear. There will be a moment in time where you appear before Christ to be judged. Doesn't matter how much money, how many followers, how famous, how opulent. None of that matters. You know, you can't send your lawyer. Oh, I'm going to send my lawyer for me. None of that matters. You will appear before the judgment seat of Christ based on, and this is what you're judged on, what you've done in the body, whether good or evil. Now, some Christians think it's not really going to matter because I'm just going to get in and I'm a believer. Now, I'm not going to do a stream necessarily. I've done it in the past and I will do it in the future because, again, I need to work on reviewing, right? I teach one thing and then I teach it again in 5 years. I got to spend more time doing more review stuff that we've taught about, especially because these broadcasts are long and there's a lot of content in them. Here's the bottom line, what it comes down to. Some of you will have no reward on Judgment Day. Some of you will be saved, but you will have no reward. You're going to get due to you for what you've done. Some of you think, and I'm just going to be frank because no one else around you is telling you this. I'm going to tell you, it might hurt a little bit, but just stay on here. Some of you think you're going to be like, God's going to be like, well done. But here's the thing. If you haven't done anything, why would God say, well done? And I'm not trying to be rude. Respectfully, some of us, and I could say this for me a lot of my times in life, have done nothing for God. Yet we want God to say, well done. Some of us think we're going to get a reward. What would you get a reward for? Like, oh, Isaiah, you need to give your kids something. What did they do to receive a reward? We have this entire generation. It's an entitlement generation. It's a lazy, weak, anemic generation that thinks that they should get a participation reward on Judgment Day. There's no participation rewards. Paul said, run the race. Hear me loud and clear. I'm going to be loud tonight. Like nobody else is running but you, and you're the only one that can win the prize. Now, there's going to be a lot of people getting the prize, but Paul says, act like you're the only one. Run with intensity. Run with boldness. Get off the lazy boy. Stop being so lazy and run the race that God has called you to run. Go forward in the calling that God's called so that you will have something. I want something on Judgment Day. I don't want it to be. Now, of course, my number one thing is I'm trying to get into heaven. So I want, by the blood of Jesus, it's not by works, it's by grace. I'm getting in, praise God. I'll be there. But I don't just want to get in. That's great if I'm in. I don't just want to get in. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, which we're going to talk about tonight. I'm going to show you tonight in the Bible the actual conversation you will have on Judgment Day. Isn't it mind-blowing that God actually tells us? Here's what we're going to talk about on Judgment Day. He shows the whole conversation and how we can make sure that conversation goes good. Just like when you go to a job interview and you're like, I need to prepare for the questions they're going to ask me. You need to prepare for the questions God is going to ask you on Judgment Day. I don't want to be poor in eternity. I don't want to get in eternity and have nothing. And some of us will have nothing. I'm going to show you this in Scripture. Not just the good, but also the bad. The wage of sin is death. There's a price for continual disobedience. There's a price for living our life, resisting and fighting God. The wages, the payment of sin is death. You get paid for sin, and the payment is death. The world tells you there's no judgment. It's no big deal. Now, Jesus says, fear the Father who could throw and destroy both body and soul in hell. But the world says, no big deal to watch porn. No big deal to drink, smoke, cuss, live however you want, cheat on her, cheat on him, do whatever you want. You don't need to pray. You don't have to live holy. You don't have to consecrate yourself. You can cheat on your taxes, manipulate everybody. It doesn't matter. The world's like, there's no judgment. Don't judge me, brother. That is literally the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. That Paul says, judge those inside the church. Now, if you're not a believer, I'm not going to judge you. There's no reason to. Paul's like, if you wanted to judge an unbeliever, there's unbelievers everywhere. You can never escape from that. But Paul says those in the church, if you're a believer tonight, Paul, he goes, yes, we can judge you. And I would rather, here's the thing. I would rather someone judge me now, shout at me, yell at me now about Judgment Day and my sin and compromise than to stand before God and God be the first one to judge me. Some of you, because you go to churches where your pastor wants to pet you, change your diaper, and cater to you and make sure that you keep tithing, so he doesn't want to ever offend you or tell you anything the Bible says, because we don't want to lose the big tithers. You know, rich people get offended the easiest and the most. So we got to make sure we don't preach anything strong. Any Judgment Day. We don't want to talk none about that. Don't speak out for abortion. Don't talk against homosexuality. Don't talk about hell. Don't talk about demons. Like, we don't want to do none of that because we're scared we're going to lose our big givers. I frankly don't care. I'm never going to allow finances or money to dictate what God wants me to preach and what I talk about. So you've never heard this stuff. Some of you will hear it for the first time on Judgment Day. Imagine the first one to call it your sin is God on Judgment Day. That's terrifying. Imagine the first time you meet Jesus is on Judgment Day. You're like, who was I serving and worshiping my entire life? My quick life, my 70 years where the Bible says the breath, your life is a vapor. It's here today, one day, gone tomorrow. And imagine the first time you meet God is on that great day of judgment where you're standing before him. That's probably not the best time to meet him, is when you're standing before him. Now, what's going to happen is you're going to realize the Jesus I was serving before, come on, let's share this. I know YouTube kicked a bunch of people out and you guys are fine. The internet's going in and out. Just refresh, log back on. You'll be good. It'll work out. We're going to keep flowing here. You're going to realize the Jesus you had been serving was not the Jesus the scripture teaches of, who actually judges people. It was the American incorporated woke Jesus that doesn't judge anybody, that doesn't condemn anybody to hell. Everybody goes to heaven. That's not in the Bible. That's not what the Bible teaches. We have to live a life with a healthy fear of God. And just because you're not being judged immediately doesn't mean you won't be judged eternally. I haven't received immediate judgment for my sin, so God must be okay with it. No, he just hasn't judged you. He's given you mercy and grace, but you will be judged. That's why the Bible says the justice of God will not be mocked. For whatever man sows, he also shall reap. You will receive judgment one day. Now look at what 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says. It says, but on Judgment Day, Paul tells us, a fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show. So on Judgment Day, there will be a fire. And this is what Paul says. Your works are going to be thrown in. Whatever you've accomplished in life, I'm not going to go long in this because I preached on this many times in the past. Whatever you've accomplished, whatever you've gained in this life will be thrown in a fire. Then he says, if the work survives, the builder gets a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. And then look at what Paul says here. So I'm not going to argue no in salvation. I'm not here to tell any of you you're not saved. Like, you're preaching works. I'm not even preaching about salvation here. Okay, pretend you're saved. Everybody's saved. Just believe the American church gospel. Listen to what Paul says. The builder will be saved. So your works, whatever you've done in life, your job, career, house, whatever you've done and worked for, they get thrown in the fire. All right? Paul says, some of you will have nothing because you had no value. There's no eternal value to what you've done in this life. You did nothing for God. Some of you will get a reward, but the builder that has nothing, say you have nothing eternal, right? And it just all gets thrown and burned up and you have no reward from God. The builder will be saved. So you might be saved. And that's why I'm not arguing salvation when it comes to judgment today. But, this is what Paul says, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. You're barely, imagine you're running and there's a wall of fire that's about to go up behind you or in front of you, and you jump and the fire goes right behind you as you jump through this fictitious line of fire that I'm making up here. Paul's like, you barely got out. Imagine you're in a burning car and somebody rips you out of the burning car after an accident. The moment they rip you out of the car fire, the car explodes right behind you. Oh my goodness, I barely escaped that burning fire. Like, by 1 second, I escaped the fire. I barely made it. Paul says that's exactly what some of you will be like. You will be saved. You'll have no reward. And God will look at all you've done. It'll be a pile of ashes. And God will look at that pile of ashes and say, this is what you spent your life on. You spent your entire life for a pile of ashes. This is what we're talking about. This is all about, am I being a good steward in this life of what God has given me? Because I'm going to show you in scripture here soon, God is going to require interest on his investment. He's not just giving out the Holy Spirit nilly-willy, or whoever wants it, here's all the gifts, here's all the... No, God's not doing that. God goes like, if I'm going to give you spiritual gifts in my Holy Spirit, I'm expecting you to bring a return on the investment. I'm going to show you this in the scripture. I'm just getting you warmed up here. So does my work have any value? Is it eternal? Is it temporary? You have to ask yourself that. Am I barely saved? Am I living in a way that's going to matter in 150 years? Because we're building. We're all building. I'm building something. Am I building something spiritual and natural? And again, it's okay to have nice stuff. I have nice stuff. That's totally fine. But make sure you realize everything I have is going to be a pile of dust. I've said this since I got saved. When it comes to car, house, anything, right? It's all going to burn. I think about that with everything I own, everything I have. It's all going to burn. Car, house, whatever possessions you have, all right? Whatever you're into, whatever you like, nice car, whatever, nice watch, whatever you're into, nice clothes, whatever you're into. Fine. It's all going to burn though. And I'm aware of that. Like if I totaled my car tomorrow, my wife totaled her car, I wouldn't even lose an ounce of sleep over it because it's all going to be a pile of dust one day. None of it is going to matter in eternity. Totally cool in this life, enjoy stuff, all of that, but it's going to be ashes on judgment day. So it's okay that I have the nice stuff, but I don't let the nice stuff have me. What I'm worried about is building a life that's going to matter on judgment day. Ask yourself this question tonight. Are you going to have a pile of ashes on judgment day, or are you going to have an eternal reward? And are you going to be barely saved? I don't want to be online for judgment day. Online. I always say online. I mean to say in line. Be like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Ugh. I don't know if I'm, I don't even know. Am I going to make it? The Bible says the righteous will be bold on judgment day. I want to know. The Bible says that if you do what God wants you to do, the will of the Father, this is what your word says. You will have a grand entrance. A grand entrance into the kingdom of God. What? I want a grand entrance. I don't want to barely be skating by, barely be making it. So we're all building, and many of us have spent our life on things that don't matter. So like I said, nothing wrong with having the nice stuff. Make sure you have eternal rewards. Make sure your eternal rewards are greater than your temporary rewards. Because I don't think God has a problem. I did a whole stream with Cap Chatfield on wealth. On creating wealth and having finances. And all the times in the Bible, God talks about money and God talks about prospering his people. I have no problem with that. I don't think prosperity is a cuss word. Okay. I think God wants to bless you. You work hard as you should. God wants to bless you. God wants to, if you're a worker, now I don't believe in being lazy. If you work hard, God wants to bless you. But again, remember, it's not going to matter on judgment day. These things aren't going to hold eternal value. Now, here's some things most people don't know about judgment day. And I need to go a lot faster. I'm taking way too long as I always do. Here's a few things people don't know. We will judge, and I'm going to share a little bit about this. We're going to judge the world and angels on the day of judgment. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. He says, when one of you dispute with another believer, how dare you file a lawsuit and ask for a secular court to decide the matters instead of taking to other believers? So in 1 Corinthians 6, 1, Paul is saying, how dare you sue another believer? Then verse 2, this is what he says. Don't you realize that someday we believers will judge the world? And since you're going to judge the world, can't you even decide these little things among yourselves? Verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 6. Don't you realize that you will judge the angels? So surely you should be able to resolve these ordinary life disputes. If you have legal disputes about these matters, why go to judges who are not even respected by the church? Verse 5. I'm saying this to shame you. Some of you are like, I don't believe we should be shamed. This is what Paul said. Paul said this in verse 5. I'm saying this to shame you. Isn't there anyone in the church that's wise enough to decide on this? But instead, one believer sues another right in front of the unbelievers. So Paul is addressing the church of Corinth that they were suing each other. They were legally suing each other. Paul's like, if you're a believer, why are you suing other believers? You guys are so immature that you can't even deal with it. And Paul's like, I'm saying this to shame you. Shame on you for suing other believers. And then Paul just randomly throws in there, don't you know that one day you'll judge unbelievers? Don't you know one day you'll judge the angels? I read probably 15 commentaries today trying to figure out what this means. And I'm just going to give you a spoiler alert. I don't know exactly what this means. I'm just giving you the verse. And every commentary, they all have the same conclusion. They're not truly sure what it means. We don't know, is this on judgment day? Is this like a future time? Is this like during the millennial reign? We don't really know what it means. It seems to point to there's going to be some participation that we will have in judgment day with Jesus. He's the ultimate judge. But somehow, well, first of all, believers get judged first, the Bible says. So the believers get judged before the unbelievers. But somehow we're going to have a part to play in that great day of judgment. And then also we're going to judge angels. Now, we don't know what angels. Are these fallen angels? Because the only angels that are going to be judged are the fallen angels. They're going to be cast in the lake of fire. The demons, which are fallen. Demons are labeled as an angel, a fallen angel. So are we judging the demons? I'm not fully sure. I don't know if anybody is. Tried to do a bunch of research on this. Nobody really knows what this means. The point is this, there's going to be a weight of judgment. There's going to be a responsibility of judgment. Another thing most people don't know, that's number one. Number two is, Jesus is going to be our judge. Jesus Christ, not the Father or anyone else, has been appointed to judge all of mankind. John 5:22. For the Father judges no one. He entrusts all judgment to the Son. So the Father doesn't judge. He's appointed judgment to Jesus, which is why you should probably know the guy that's going to judge you. Probably a good thing that you know him. Acts 17:31, he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof to this to everyone by raising him from the dead. So the Father appoints Jesus, Acts 17:31, and he proves that this is the man that's going to judge everybody by raising that man, Jesus, from the dead. That's how the Father proves who will judge. So this is the importance of, you need to know Christ, who will be your judge. All right, number three, most people don't realize, books are going to be open that recorded everything you've ever done. Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to what they'd done as recorded in these books. Everything you do in this life is recorded in a book. There's a book of life, which is the Lamb's book of life. Whether you're saved or not, if you're a genuine believer, your name is in there. Is it possible that my name gets blotted out when I turn from God, when I walk away from God, when I reject the Lord after knowing the knowledge of the truth, after serving the Lord and quote unquote backsliding? Can I quote unquote lose my salvation? Yes, that's why the Bible says don't let your name be blotted out. Christ says, if you don't do these things, I will blot your name out of the Lamb's book of life. So God himself has the ability to blot your name out. This is why Moses said, Lord, you can remove my name from your book if it means saving these people. Paul even said the same thing. He said, you could remove my name if you save the Jews. So yes, that's possible. If you're genuinely saved, your name is in that book. Does God have the ability to remove your name? God can do whatever he wants to do. But the Bible does talk about getting your name blotted. Imagine white out, blotting your name out of the book of life. So that's the first book. But then there's another book, and I'm kind of just recapping some of this stuff, is the book of your life. This is different. Remember, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, books were opened. Books, plural, not book, books. The book of life and the book of your life, where everything you've done is written down. The Lord is, so if you're like, nobody sees me at the church stacking chairs, cleaning the floors in the bathroom, getting everything ready. I'm unappreciated in the church. Nobody thanks me. The pastor doesn't thank me. I'm in internship. I'm not getting paid. There's a lot of you like that are working hard for God and nobody knows. Here's the beauty of this. God is writing it down. God knows, and God is keeping track of what you're doing. This is revealing to us the meticulous nature of God's judgment, God ensuring to us that nothing is overlooked. What you've done, now, when I say what you've done in darkness, we always are like, that's terrible. And that, for a lot of times, that has a bad connotation. But it's not just what you've done in darkness that's bad that God remembers or writes down. It's what you've done in darkness that's good. You've done things that nobody saw. You've done things that nobody knows about. You've given finances to missionaries and ministries and sowed into people. You don't need to broadcast everything. The Lord's like, oh, you gave that ministry and you didn't post about it and blast it? I'm writing that down. Oh, you sowed into that church? I'm writing it down. Oh, you sowed into Isaiah to continue to allow him to do this and get the word out and to put out these videos and to reach millions of people? I'm writing that down. You don't have to have the accolades. Now, I like to thank people. So a lot of times I'll read and thank you, all that. That's great. But regardless of any of that, whether anyone ever reads your donation or knows what you gave, the Lord is keeping track. The Lord is keeping track. Another criteria of people don't realize is what will come up on Judgment Day is, did you help other people? God's going to factor in your help to the needy in judgment. Matthew 25:40. Whatever you did for one of the least of these, you've done for me. On Judgment Day, God is going to factor in, did you help the poor? Did you help the widow? Did you help the orphan? Did you help the needy? This is something that will, some of you on Judgment Day, the Lord's going to be like, thank you for feeding me when I was hungry. Thank you for visiting me when I was in prison. Thank you for visiting me when I was in the hospital. Thank you for helping me when I had no clothes, you clothed me. And you're going to say, this is what the Bible says. I preached on this a while back. I don't have time to go into that story because I have another story I want to talk about tonight. And this is what the Lord's going to say. I mean, you're going to say, Lord, this is what you're going to say. Lord, when did I see you hungry? Lord, when did I see you naked and gave you clothes? Lord, when did I visit you in prison or visit you in the hospital? This is what you're going to say when the Lord says that on Judgment Day. And the Lord's going to say, when you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. Now, the adverse is the Lord's going to say, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. When I was in prison, you didn't visit me. When I was poor, you didn't help me. When I was sick, you didn't visit me. And you're going to say, Lord, when did I ever see you? If I saw Jesus on the corner asking for food, of course I would feed him. It's Jesus. But the Lord says, when you see the less fortunate, when you see the least of these, and you don't help them, you haven't done it unto me. I'm identifying myself in the less fortunate. That's what your Bible says. You might not like that. When I see somebody holding a sign like hungry and they're homeless or poor, I don't give them money and say, are you going to go buy drugs with this? Are you going to go buy a 40 with this? I don't do none of that because the Bible doesn't tell me to ask all of their motives before helping them. I'm just like, hey, if I'm by a restaurant or a food place, I will get them food and hand it to them. But usually I'll be like, here's $10. Here's $20. I keep cash in my car to do this. In my center console, I have bills to do this. Here's money. Go get yourself some food. And that's my job. I'm not worried about, I'm going to follow you to the store and make sure that you do this. I'm not the one that's supposed to be policing the less fortunate or the poor or the needy. I just want to make sure that when I stand before God, God doesn't say, I was there on that street corner testing you and you didn't help me when I was hungry. I was in front of that Waffle House. I was in front of that whatever restaurant and you didn't get me a burger when I was hungry. This is what Jesus says. Then the Bible says you might be entertaining angels by helping less fortunate. Okay, so some of the criteria of Judgment Day will also be, did you help the needy? Did you help the poor? Some of the purposes of Judgment Day our accountability for the actions in this life. I talked about that for 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Judgment Day will show and remind us that our actions in this life have eternal consequences. In fact, just write this down if you're taking notes. Think about this all week long. Actions in this life will have eternal consequences. Write that down. What you do in this life will have eternal consequences. It's not inconsequential. It's not like it doesn't matter what I do. It absolutely matters what you do. God cares about you, what you do. So there will be accountability on Judgment Day. There will also be rewards on Judgment Day. Romans 2:6. He'll render each one according to his works. How do I get rewards? And I have entire videos on all the different rewards you can earn on Judgment Day. There's many more the Bible doesn't talk about, but the Bible does talk about some. What do I need to do to get rewards? I need to have work in my life. All the people that tell you works don't matter, throw their teaching out of your mind, out of the window. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says works don't matter. Now, we all know, and I'm a broken record, I've said it a million times, but I have to say this for the hyper Pharisees in the chat. Works do not get you saved. You heard it here first. Breaking news. Hold on, let me just do this. Here we go. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Works do not get you saved. You're not saved based on your works. You're saved based on grace. But breaking news, works do matter. Whoever said they don't matter is lying to you. You get your reward based on your works. That is what Romans 2:6 teaches, and that's what the book of Revelation teaches, all right? Also on Judgment Day, there will be, and this is scary, this is something I need to work on even more, something I've worked on for the last 13 years, but I need to work on it more. I'm constantly convicted about it, and I constantly need to work on this, okay? Because sometimes I'll be on the line, and I need to really work on this in my life. Empty words. How many of you know I like to talk? I talk. If you see me on stream, I'm like this all the time about everything. Talk to me about anything, anything in the world. I want to know about everything. I want to ask questions about everything. I'm a very curious person. If you come to me and you're like, I own a business, I'm going to ask you a million questions about your business, all right? Understand that I talk a lot and words matter. But here's why I need to work on this, and we all do. Because you're going to be accountable on Judgment Day for your words. That's scary. Matthew 12:36. But I tell you that everyone, now Isaiah, is this just believers? Is this just unbelievers? This is what Jesus says. This is the words of Jesus, Matthew 12:36. Everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment. For what? Look at this. For every empty word that they have spoken. Oh. Oh, man. That's why the Bible says be slow to speak. I need to talk less. I need not be so quick to say things that are, I shouldn't say, empty words. Words that have no value. Words that have no meaning. Words that are idle. Things that don't matter. What does empty mean? Some translations say idle words. I don't know if we have we should probably research that more. Because we talk, especially if you're like me and you're Hispanic and you're Italian, you're just all the time talking. We're gonna be judged on that. Here's the point of it. There's going to be an evaluation of our words, so we must be cautious and mindful of the power of our speech. Our words, and this I think speaks more to tearing people down, because the Bible over and over speaks about like cussing, cursing, tearing people down. This speaks about building up versus tearing down. We're going to be held responsible for the impact that our words had on others. Our words have incredible power. And there are some people that don't realize that they've torn people down with their words. That they've wounded people. Some, like there's a saying, right? Sticks and stones, what is it? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, or something like that. That's the stupidest saying I've ever heard. I probably didn't even say the saying right, but isn't it like something like that? It's the dumbest saying I've ever heard, because words can ruin lives. Words can destroy destinies. Words matter. All right, another thing will be on Judgment Day is separation of the righteous and the wicked. Matthew 25:32, he'll separate people one from another like a sheep separates sheep from the goats. So there will be a great separation on Judgment Day. And then another thing is he will reveal true motives. 1 Corinthians 4:5. He'll bring to light what is hidden in darkness and expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. The Lord is going to reveal that. And trust me, y'all, when I preach this and share this, I feel the conviction of the Holy Ghost, the hammer of the Holy Ghost. I am convicted just as much as many of you are convicted. God's going to judge our true motives. Some of you want to judge people's motives? Don't stress. All these people, is this preacher false? Is this preacher a heretic? Is this, people pay their bills making channels calling everybody a heretic. That's all they do. They don't edify. They don't build up. All they do is call everybody a heretic but them. And we could get stressed about that. Like, I don't want to have that. We could call and do this and make all these videos responding to them. I don't respond to any of them because I'm not going to worry about anybody's motives. And I make very, very, very few videos where I say anything about anybody because I don't know their motives and I'm not the one to judge. One day, God is going to judge their motive. God is going to judge the motive. If you think I'm false, if you think I have impure motives, let the Lord judge. Let the Lord judge. Let the Lord reveal, because on judgment day, God's going to take care of that. Well, there will be a great conversation on that day of judgment. So let me show you, and I say quickly, but give me like 20 to 25 Pentecostal minutes. Let me show you. This is one of the most fascinating portions of the Bible. You may have seen or heard it before. This right here is literally the conversation you will have on judgment day with the Lord. So before, this is like you're going into the most important interview of your life, and I'm like, hey, I know what they're going to ask you. I know what they're going to ask you. I know what they're going to say. And I know the exact conversation that they want to have. And I know how they're going to evaluate you. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you think it would be important that I know what judgment day conversation will be like? Do you think it'd be important? Hey, tell me. You know exactly what my interview is going to be on? Yes, dude, I know. This is what Jesus is telling us. This is what Jesus is showing us. So let's look exactly at what he's going to say. And I'm just going to read it through and then I'm going to share some points on it and talk about it. And you're going to be able to see, are you ready for this? Okay. This is Jesus speaking. This is Matthew 25, 14. I'm going to read it very plainly and I'm going to show you what judgment day is going to be like, what he's going to say. Verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. He called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Can you guys see my mouse on screen? I don't know if you can. Yes, you can. I think you can. All right. Anyways, let me know if you can see it. Verse 15, and to one, so this is a man traveling far country, and he brings a servant, says, okay, I'm going to go to a faraway place. I want to leave you something. And you're already probably getting what's going on here, okay? To one, he gave 5 talents, and I'm going to tell you what talents are and all that, but just pay attention. To another, he gave 2, and to another, he gave 1. So what do we have? 3 servants. I'm going to make it very simple. 1 gets 5, 1 gets 2, and 1 gets 1. To each, he gave according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. All right. So the Lord's like, I'm giving you something in this life, not more than you can handle. And I'm basically determining how much I'm going to give you based on your ability to steward what I'm giving you. Because we've all been given something. But watch what happens here. Because this is what you're going to, the literal conversation you're going to have on judgment day. It's hidden in this parable. Jesus hides it in this parable. Verse 16. Then the man that had received 5 talents went and traded and got another 5. Great. Great. There's interest on the investment. The master invested into them and this guy got 5 more. Verse 17, the one who had 2 gained 2 more. Verse 18, but the one who received 1 went and dug it in the ground and hid the Lord's money. Verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Verse 20. So he received 5, came and brought 5 other. And the Lord said, so this is judgment day. Christ has returned. The Lord has come back. He went to a faraway place, heaven, amen. He's returned. He's going to judge you. Okay? This is what's going to happen. This is what Christ is looking for. He would receive 5, came back and 5 other. Lord, you delivered me 5. Look, I've gained 5 more besides them. His Lord said this, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enjoy and enter into the joy of your Lord. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Okay. He who received 2 came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2. Look, I've gained 2 more besides them. Same thing. Exact same thing. Well done. Well, I want to show you something here. The guy that had 5 and made 5 more gets the same reward. Here's the same words as the guy that had 2. Okay. But look at what happens here. Then the man that received 1 came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. So he had a wrong view of God, reaping where you've not sown, gathering where you've not scattered. And I was afraid. And so I hid what you gave me, the talent you gave me in the ground. Look, here, have what is yours. What do we see this man doing? This man gives back what the Lord gave him. Lord, you entrusted me with a gift. You entrusted me with a family. Whatever it was, I'm going to give it back to you. Look what the Lord says. But the Lord answered. This is, again, conversation on judgment day. This is what the Lord says. You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you should have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Write that in your notes. God is looking for interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the man who has 10 talents. This guy has one talent. And the Lord goes, give me what you have, and gives it to the man that has 10. Verse 29. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But for him who does not have, even what he has will be taken. This is how I know this is judgment day. And you're like, this is not about judgment, brother. This is about now. This is verse 30 is where we know this is judgment. Look at this. And this is some of you, and this is why this is scary. This gives me chills. And cast the unprofitable, look at this, unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. The Bible refers to hell, the current hell, Hades, as outer darkness. How do we know this is hell? There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The guy gets thrown into hell because he didn't do what God wanted him to do. This is about the kingdom of God. Primary goal is not input, it's output. It's not about God, give me more, 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 more. Fill me up, God. All the songs we sing are all about more, 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 more. And the Lord says, you want input, but you don't want any output. And you're not doing anything with what I've given you. I've given you talent. Jesus goes, I've given you power. I've taught you how to treat the poor. I've taught you how to overcome the enemy. I've taught you how to overcome darkness. Tomorrow night, we'll be live here on the same channel at 6 o'clock. So you won't miss it. Just come back at the same time. And he says, I'm leaving you now. Look at this. I'm giving you my Holy Spirit. But guess what? I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Do you know on Judgment Day, God's going to say, what'd you do with the Holy Spirit? What do you mean? I went to church. That's not what I'm asking you. What did you do with the Holy Spirit that I gave you? Jesus said, I'm leaving. I talked about it last week. You better go watch that live. And I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. What did you do with it? Did you do anything? Was anyone discipled? Was anybody delivered? Was anybody healed? Was anybody preached to? Did you do anything? Where's the interest on what I gave you? I've given you gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:8. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gifts of faith, gifts of healing, gifts of miracles, prophecy, distinguishing spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. All these great things I've given you. I've given you gifts of serving, Romans 12:6. Gifts of teaching, gifts of exhortation, gifts of giving, leadership, mercy. So all these things. What have you done with these things? What have you done with these things? I've given you something. This is what the Lord's saying. Things need to get done while I'm gone. Theologically, I've said this a million times. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father right now. Jesus is not on the earth theologically. He's on the earth through the person of the Holy Spirit. But he's in heaven at the right hand of God. We know that. Amen? He's coming back. Has he come back the second time? No, the second coming has not happened yet. He will come back again. And he's looking for, what have you done? What have you done? He's coming home. So what has he done right now? What is life all about? This is going to answer all of life's questions. This life is about management mode. We are managing the kingdom of God like a master that's given his servant talents. God says, okay, right now, right here, right now, November 25th, 2024, you're in managing mode. I've given you power. I've given you authority. I've given you talents and I've given you gifts. You're called to manage that. You're not random. You're not just, oh, I'm just going to float around, go to church and see what happens. And I'm 90 and I'll die or whatever, 80. Maybe I'll live to 70 if I don't have too much junk food and whatever. We're just going to go to heaven. That's not what life is about. Life is about I'm managing a kingdom. I've been entrusted with a kingdom. Anybody remember what Jesus preached? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And now the kingdom is here, is among us. And I'm called to manage his kingdom. Just like you remember your parents like, all right, we're going to go eat. We're going to the grocery store. What did your parents used to say? Your room better get clean before we get home. Amen. Does that not happen anymore? Are we like so soft as parents, we don't even do that? It better get done before we get home. And what would happen? Your mom would call you, hey, we're down the road. You would start freaking out, cleaning your room, running around. Your parents drove in the driveway. Mom and dad are home. Ah! You're all screaming, running around, trying to, because you realize you were lazy. You sat around playing video games, watching movies, and you didn't do what your parents told you to do. And now they're driving into the driveway and you haven't done what they said to do. That's going to be the second coming for a lot of people. That's going to be judgment day for a lot of people. You wait 5 minutes till 5 minutes before they're home to get ready. Like the college exams, you cram. But Bible says, you don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know when that thief comes in the night. You're not going to have time to prepare. Be ready now so you don't have to get ready. He has given you too much to just sit on. He's given you too much to do nothing, to just do nothing with it. With extraordinary power comes, I just want you to think about this, comes extraordinary responsibility. Think about something, okay? This is so deep tonight. And I'm saying that facetiously. I'm joking. I just want you to wrap your head around this very simple thing, okay? Just listen to what I'm about to say. Very, very simple. As a believer in Christ, you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Think about how insane that is. What doctors can't do with all of their medicine, all of their inventions, all of their billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of cancer research. Doctors, for the most part, can't cure cancer, generally. There's a lot of different cancers. There's some treatments for some. But let's just think of generally. There's no cure for cancer, but then all of a sudden you can lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. I have seen with my own eyes, blind eyes open. I've seen deaf ears open where there was no eardrum. I saw right there that person get their earring back that had no eardrum. How? What kind of power is that? This is why when Jesus is like just chilling, walking on water, they're like, who is this man? This is what they said. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. What type of man is this that even the winds and waves obey him? You can drive out demons. You can speak forth words of healing. You can speak in an unknown language. One moment you have no clue the language, and the next second you're speaking fluently in that language. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. You've been given a lot. So this parable about Judgment Day, God says, I'm giving you something based on your ability. God, this is how it works. And this is not to brag or boast or anything like that. And I am so unworthy. I feel unworthy every day. I have no clue what I'm doing half the time. And every day I'm like, Lord, why would you choose me? I don't understand it. 13 years later, I have no clue why he's chosen me. I know why, because I said yes. That's it. Not because I'm talented or gifted or anything like that. Just because I'm available. He's not looking for abilities. He's looking for availabilities. So I know why the Lord chose me. It's because 7 other Isaiah said no. And the Lord's like, all right, you'll say yes. And I'll do what no one else is willing to do. That's why he chose me. I understand, right? I know why. But my point in all of it is, the reason why the Lord has given me what he's given me is because he knows I can handle it. He knows I can handle it. Much is given, much is required. When you're responsible with a little, God will give you more. If you don't have a lot, it's because you can't handle a lot. And that's fine. That's totally fine. God will give you based on what you can handle. And I'm talking about give you like talents, all right? The reason why he does this is he doesn't want any excuses. Many times, like, I don't have the time. I don't have the money. I don't have the gift. I don't have this or that. The Bible says God's giving you each according to your ability. He's giving you the amount that you can handle. If God is giving you 80 subscribers, let's say, because say you have an online ministry and God's like, I'm going to give you 80 subscribers. That's all you can handle. 300 is all you can handle. 20, that's all you can handle. So God is going to give you based on what you can handle. Some people can handle a lot and get overwhelmed easy. Some people can't handle a lot. That's totally fine, because what we're going to find out in a moment is it doesn't matter how much you have. It matters what you do with what you have. That is a beautiful thing, because that means I don't have to compare myself to Isaiah. I don't have to compare myself to Reinhard Bonnke. I don't have to compare myself to Billy Graham. I only have to compare myself to what has God given me. That's it. The architect knows how much weight a structure can hold before he builds the structure. He does not build something too heavy for the structure, just like God doesn't give you too much. Now, I'm not saying that cheesy thing of like, the Lord only gives you what you can handle. I'm not talking about that, where it's like trials, right? God gave me something, a trial too hard. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not the cheesy saying of like, the Lord will never give you more than you can handle. I'm talking about the abilities and the talents that God has given you is based on what you can handle. If you're like, God, give me more, God's like, I'm not giving you more because you can't handle more. All right, that's the bottom line. And some of this stuff might sound a little bit rude, but it's what Jesus is saying. That's why when Jeremiah's like, I'm too young, God's like, don't say you're too young. I knew you before you were in your mother's womb, and I saw you do it, and I know you can do it. There's times where I'm like, Lord, I can't. Lord's like, don't say you can't. I know you can do it. Isaiah, I saw you do it. I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. So stop saying it's too much. And I would say, be very careful when you go, I want what that person has. You're probably not ready to handle the weight that they carry. I don't ever look at somebody that has a bigger ministry ever and go, I want what they have. I never have said that. And I will never say that because I'm probably not ready to carry the weight they carry. I look at some of these guys that have these mega churches with like massive buildings, millions and millions of dollar buildings, 200 employees. If you came to me and said, Isaiah, we're going to pay you $10 million a year to be a mega church pastor, to have 200 people on staff, 20,000 member church. You know what I would tell you? I wouldn't have to even pray about it. I'd be like, nope, I don't want that. I do not want that stress. I don't want that weight. I'm happy doing what I'm doing. I got my brother working for the ministry, editing, posting. I got Marcella doing the deliverance map. I'm cool. Two people, one part-time, one full-time. I'm happy. I don't want no employees. I don't want no buildings. I don't want no money. I don't want none of that stress. I don't want the LLCs, the S-Corps, none of it. I don't want none of it. God has given me what I can handle, and I can't handle no more than I have. So I don't want what you have. I want what I have, and here's why. Because on Judgment Day, I'm not going to be judged based on what the megachurch guy has. I'm going to be judged based on what God's given me. God bless that he can handle it. I can't. I know what I can handle, and God knows what I can handle. But I have to understand God's giving me what I can handle. There's a price. I've paid a price for what God's given me. But God knows I can handle that gifting and that talent. Some of you want God to give you a position when you're not ready for the position. Now, talent is a measurement of weight. It's about 75 pounds of silver. So it might seem like one talent is not a lot, but let's be very clear. The master who's Christ, who's God, is an incredibly wealthy master who has incredible resources. He's not poor. Some of you act like Jesus is poor. Some of you act like God can't provide, God can't support, and you have to live this like poor little lifestyle. God is not weak. God is not poor. God has incredible wealth and incredible talents and incredible abilities, and he can give them to whoever he wants. So even, let's say tonight you're a one talent Christian. Like, I only have one talent. You have more than you need. And there are some of you in the chat, and I'm not even being rude, okay? You don't need to like identify yourself. This is just biblical. Some of you are just one talent Christians, and that's totally fine. We need you. You just can't handle more. But even with one talent, it's so much. Some of you are two talents. Some of you are five talent Christians. Some of you are 10, 20, 30 talent Christians. But God says, I've given you a weight. I've given you a burden for something, for someone. Talents represent everything God has given you. The Bible says every good and perfect thing comes from the Lord. So my talent, which is, again, a measurement of weight, it doesn't literally mean talent, but it could go by that. Almost like kind of makes sense how it could go as either a talent, like a talent I have, or a talent of weight. The point is God's given you resources. He's given you something to manage. This also includes your wife, your kids, your job, your husband, your degree, your car, your house. Every good and perfect thing comes from the Lord. So maybe you're a stay-at-home mom and your talents are your children. And you don't compare yourself to Isaiah Saldivar and say, well, I'm just a stay-at-home mom. I'm not going to have the same reward on Judgment Day. I'm about to show y'all you're going to have the same reward as me. Just because you're a stay-at-home mom, that's what God has given you. So ask yourself this, before you're all condemned tonight and you crawl into a hole, ask yourself this question, what has God given me? What has he entrusted me with? And everybody has something. And how am I managing that? That is what life, I'm giving you the answer to life. It's all about managing what God has given you. And in every season, it's different. You, maybe your kids are young. That's the season God's given you that. Then your kids grow up. Now it's a different season and a different season. And it constantly changes. But what I'm doing something with what God's given me. And think about with kids, right? If I'm trying to multiply my talents, that's the goal in life. I'm multiplying, right? Because he's going to want, what did you do with what I gave you? He wants a return on his investment. You can take that however you want. It's literally what the parable is all about. If you don't believe that, go reread this later when we're done with the broadcast. I'm teaching my kids and training them. Whether it's your mom, dad, maybe you're a stay-at-home mom. I'm pretty much a stay-at-home dad, and my wife's a stay-at-home mom because I'm here working from home. All right, so pretty much I'm with my kids a lot. I'm working from home, and I travel like once a month, but I mostly stay at home, right? I'm investing into my kids, having prayer, whatever it is, teaching them how to be good kids, whatever. and I'm investing, and they are going to invest in others. My kids, I'm praying, will reach way more people than I've ever reached. So see how I'm multiplying what God has given me? Say we reach 500 million. I'm praying my kids reach 5 billion. I'm praying that my ceiling will be their floor. I'm investing. We're investing. As stay-at-home moms, you're investing in your kids and you're making disciples, and it's going to duplicate. They're going to reach more people. See the multiplication on what you've invested in. So ask yourself this. How am I treating my family? How am I managing my kids? How am I treating my boss? How do you work? How do you treat your employees? How hard do you work with the job that God's blessed you for? Some of you are, God bless me with a job. God gives you a job and you're the worst worker of all time. Okay, is that a good, am I managing good? Am I a good steward of what God's given me? Probably not. Nobody wants to work with you. You're late to every shift, yet God blessed you with that job. God's like, I gave you the job, and Lord, you took the job. No, you lost the job because you're lazy. You don't brush your teeth. You never show up to work on time. Nobody wants to be around you. I'm serious. This is what I'm saying. We get blessed, but we don't know how to manage the blessing, the talents, the weight, because it's a lot of weight to have a job. It's a lot of pressure, a lot of stress. The talent, oh, it's a lot of weight, 75 pounds of silver. But again, think about this in every area of your life. It's going to come up on Judgment Day. I did a lot of research on near-death experiences. I did a whole streams on this about people that have had near, all of them said when they had a life review where the Lord on Judgment Day showed them their life, all he ever cared about was how they treated people. How are you treating people? You will never, ever, ever, this is my biggest pet peeve, one of them. It's so trivial, but it's so important to me. When I go to preach somewhere and the pastor takes me out to dinner or lunch, which I've been to a million dinners and lunches with pastors because it's what you do when you go preach, and the pastor's mean or rude to the waiter, biggest pet peeve ever. I just can't look at you the same. I can't treat you the same. If you're one of those that's mean to a waiter, I just can't stand you. I'm sorry to say it, right? Because we have to treat people right. We have to honor people. I'm managing something God's given me. How could I not even be kind to my waiter? You expect me to be kind to my wife and kids and the poor? Yeah, I can't even be kind to a waiter. We have to be kind people. We have to manage what God has given us. God's given us something. Not everybody has the same gift. Some of you have one, some of you have two, some of you have five, all right? Here's the thing. I'm responsible for my talents. Now, the beauty of this story is the guy that has five talents gets the same reward. Isn't that what I read you earlier? The same reward as the guy that has two. Jesus doubles the reward and then says, enter into your master's joy. Both of them hear, well done, good and faithful servant. He doesn't say to the guy with five, well done, good and faithful servant. And then the guy with two says, ah, you did all right. But this guy over here, Isaiah over here, let's just say it like this. Isaiah over here reached hundreds of millions. You only reached 1,000. That's not what he says. He goes, you had five, Isaiah. I gave you all this responsibility and you did good. Well done. You only had 100 over here. Guess what? Well done. You and Isaiah get the same. You both get to enter your master's joy. You both get the same reward on Judgment Day. Why? Because it wasn't about how much you got. It was about what you did with what you have. That is what life is all about. You might not have the stage or the anointing or the ability or the devotion or whatever God's given me. I don't even know half the time. But God says, what do you have? Have you been faithful? Maybe you work at Costco. Bring change to Costco. Maybe you work at Walmart. Bring change to the Walmart. You don't have to be on stage. Don't use it as an excuse to not serve people in the kingdom of God. What did you do with your talents? That's the whole message. And then he says, enter into your master's joy, which is, it basically means to be, it's kara, it's to be glad, it's gladness, it's joy, it's being calmly happy. All right, but I want to talk about this last thing and then we're going to pray. The last servant. This is some of you in the chat. We're not going to call anybody out by name because I have no clue who you are or what you are. Only you can answer this question. How do I know if I'm the servant that did the right thing with what God gave me to manage, the five or the two, or I'm the person that's the wicked, lazy servant that gets thrown into hell? This servant buried his talent. He was so afraid. He had a wrong paradigm of God. He viewed God wrong. And the gift that God gave him, he buried it. Here's a very simple question. Have you buried your talent? The ability God gave you to sing, the ability God gave you to preach, the ability God gave you to administrate, the kids, the wife, all that stuff that God gave you, the weight, the burden God gave you for your family and for your friends and for Did you take that and say, okay, this is what he says. I'm afraid that I'm going to mess this up. I'm afraid that I'm going to mess up the ministry. I'm going to mess up what God gave me. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play it safe, and I'm just going to show up to church on Sunday, and I'm not going to really do much with what God gave me. If that's you, friends, you have buried your talent. You have buried what God gave you. You've hidden it. What does it mean to be buried? It means nobody gets to see no one gets to see what God gave me. Jesus said, you are a city set on a hill that brings light. He goes, why would you light a lamp and then put a basket over it and be a basket head Christian? Nobody does that. Nobody lights a lamp to bring light and then goes, I'm going to light a lamp and then cover it so there's no light. That's the stupidest thing ever. But we do that as Christians. No one sees our light. Being buried, burying what God's given you means nobody sees what God gave you. Does the world around you see the things that God gave you? The abilities, the talents, the authority, the anointing, the gifts, the spiritual realm, the joy, the happiness, the life, the peace, the charismatic nature God has given you. Some of you are charismatic. God made you that way. He made you excited about everything. People always tell me this, and they say it in a nice way, but for sometimes like a diss. It's like, and they're not really dissing me, but to them, they're just like, oh, you're excited about everything. And people tell me like, are you always this excited about everything? Yes. Ask me about anything and I'm this excited. I will literally preach pickleball. I'll go on an hour telling you about how to do a drop shot and I'll be this excited talking about that. Anything, people, are you always that excited? I get that all the time. Yes. And here's what I realize. God has made me charismatic. God has made me passionate. Not everybody is, not everybody has to be, but one of the talents God has given me, I'm just telling you, is God's made me passionate and excited about life and things and made me charismatic. And why did God do that? Is it so I could be excited about fishing or pickleball or family or a movie or whatever? No, that's all part of it. But it's God made me with this personality so I could preach this way. So I can make in a generation that says God is boring, the Bible's boring, God says Isaiah needs to be born in this time so he can bring some excitement to my word and excitement to this generation. I truly believe that. And that's not even me tooting my own horn. I'm just wild and excited about life and everything I talk about. So understand, I realize, and I'm just giving you a practical example, I'm not going to bury that. People think it's weird that my veins are popping out, I'm always screaming. Oh, well, I'm not burying it. People don't like that I'm yelling and breathing a certain way and talking a certain way and shouting a certain way. Oh, well, you want me to bury it? I'm not burying it because God gave me that talent. You're going to see it and I'm going to reach people and I'm going to use it. Whatever you think it's just random the way you are. God made you the way you are. God made you the way your heart breaks for certain things and mine doesn't. God made you that way. God has given you talents and abilities. You have something that God wants you to do something with. Don't just be lazy. This guy was lazy. He would rather sit in front of the television than answer the call of God. He excused himself like, oh, you're just, you know, you're a hard master. You're this. No, it's not yours. Your job isn't yours. Your stuff isn't yours. Your family isn't yours. None of it's yours. My channel is not mine, right? I wish I could name my channel like God's channel, but that would be very like arrogant and weird. I wouldn't do that. I just named Isaiah Saldivar, but it's not my channel. God says, Isaiah, teach on this. Oh, I taught on that a couple months ago, 6 months ago, a year ago. I want to teach the same thing. I taught on this a year ago. Oh, I don't want to teach the same thing. The Lord's like, excuse me. It's not your channel, bro. It's my channel. So I want you to do this. If you're my sheep, hear my voice and obey my voice. Oh, it's not going to be popular to come against that or talk about that, right? It's like abortion. You want me to talk about that again? The Lord's like, yes. Speak on that. Oh, I'm going to lose a bunch of people. It's not trending, but speak on it. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what gets views or clicks or none of that. Talk about what I'm telling you. Oh, if I keep talking about deliverance, they're going to, you know, not associate. I'm not going to be cool, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? It's not your channel, Isaiah. It's not your talents. It's not your weight. I'm the one that's giving you it. I'm the one that's giving you it. You've been called. This guy who was lazy, who buried his talent, who's a Sunday morning pew warmer. Now, this was not an unbeliever. Let's be clear on that. The guy had something. God does not give talents to unbelievers. So the unbelievers are not the master's servant. So let's be very clear. This is about a believer, follower of the master, had something from the master, and I know you don't like this because emotionally you're like, oh, that's not my Jesus. My Jesus saves everybody. You're probably serving a new age Jesus because this is not the Jesus. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible is not like, everybody saved. Come on in, everybody. That's not what the Bible teaches. Sorry to burst your bubble and to mess you up here. This guy who is a servant, I'm not saying it, the Bible does, of the master gets thrown into hell where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth because he was lazy. How much does it matter that I do something for God? It's everything. How much does it matter that I'm serving the Lord and doing something with what he's given me? Because you, every single one of you have something. The Bible says we all have a gift. We all have a gift. It matters. This guy gets thrown into hell because the Bible calls him a wicked and lazy servant. A wicked and lazy servant. He didn't do anything with what God gave him. That is the conversation you will have on Judgment Day. You want to know? Go read in Matthew. This is the conversation. This is what's going to be Judgment Day. What did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with what I gave you? Were you responsible or did you act like it was no big deal? The Lord's asking you that tonight. I want some of you right now in the most serious way possible. And I know some of the stuff I say sounds funny. And I throw in humor to help. Spoonful of sugar helps medicine go down. I want some of you to get a spiritual shovel and to undig the talent that you've buried. The thing that God awakened in you, that God gave you, that ability, I want you to undig it tonight. And I want you to say, Lord, help me. You've given me this ability. You've given me this weight. You give me these finances. I truly believe that. God blesses people to bless others. The more we bless others, the more God blesses us. The more we bless other ministries, the more God blesses us. The more we bless family, the more God blesses us. Undig your talent right now and say, God, help me. I want to do what you've called me to do. God, what ability? Maybe it's to preach. Maybe it's to prophesy. Maybe it's to sing. Maybe it's to start an orphanage. Maybe it's to start a godly daycare. Maybe it's to start a godly construction business. Maybe God gave you an ability to make money. Some of you are so good at making money, better than any of us here. You literally are so good at starting businesses. You're an entrepreneur in your sleep and you could create millions of dollars for God's kingdom. Why would you bury that ability? Use it for the glory of God. God is looking for interest on his investment. I want to stand before God in judgment and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's rest. Father, I pray for every single person watching this broadcast right now, God, on the live and on the replay. Lord, I pray that you would help them. Not only, God, would you give them talents if they feel like they have none, but I pray, Lord, that you would help them to see that they've buried their talents. God, for those that have two or five, God, help us to multiply our talents. Help us to use our talents and our abilities. And for those that have none, I pray, God, that tonight you would show them they do have some. You would reveal the talents to them, God. You would reveal what you're doing in their life, God. I pray right now that nobody in this broadcast would hide their talents. Nobody in this broadcast would bury their talents. I pray right now, Lord, reveal yourself to them. God, I pray tonight that we would undig our talents. We would dig up the talents we've dug and we would let the world see what you've given us. God, let us be the light shining in darkness. Lord, I pray that we would be prepared. God, I want to be prepared for Judgment Day. Help me, Lord, to control my tongue. Help me, God, to not have anything in my life that offends you. God, if there's any secret sin in my life, come on, pray that. God, if there's any secret sin in my life, God, I want to get rid of it now so that it doesn't come up on Judgment Day. Lord, I don't want to be that person on Judgment Day that you say, depart from me, I never knew you. God, I don't want to be that person, that wicked, lazy, and unprofitable servant on Judgment Day. God, I want to be that one that you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Cleanse me, God. Wash me, Lord. Come on, pray that. Purify my heart, God. Search my heart, Lord. Is there anything in my life that offends you? Is there any sin in my life? Help me, Lord, today in Jesus' name. God, bless your people. Anoint your people. Heal, deliver, set free, God. Lord, I pray that those that don't have the fear of the Lord, God, give them the fear of the Lord. I pray, God, that we would fear you, that we would walk in the fear of the Lord. We would live in the fear of the Lord. That, God, we would have the fear of the Lord tonight. Give us the fear of the Lord. Anoint your people tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Guys, this is not a game or a joke. This is a serious thing. Judgment Day is real. and it's coming for all of us. For we all must appear before. So let's all be convicted tonight. Let's all be challenged tonight of what the Lord is doing and saying, God, I want to walk in your holiness. I want to walk in your freedom. I want to walk in your power. I don't want to live my life just on the edges of some religious system. God, I want to know you. And if you feel led to give, please sow into our ministry. You guys know every week we survive on these streams. I'm putting the time in, the energy in. I'm giving it to you. I've been now 6 years giving it to you raw, real, uncut. I was scrolling through my videos. I was like, I cannot believe how many live streams I have. I literally cannot believe the thousands of hours I have of live streams and videos. I don't even remember. I'm like, I did all this? This is crazy. Oh, well, I didn't. God did. God gave me the ability and authority. And we're just going for it, guys. It's up and it's down. And we're riding the waves. We're going up. We're going down. We're staying encouraged. Many of you guys know my number one short goal is getting discouraged. But you know what? We fought that devil. We've come against it. We're not dealing with that. We're going forward in Jesus' name. So pray about partnering with us. You can give one time. You can give monthly. If you become a monthly partner on our website or on YouTube, you get 70 sermons, 20% off our merch store, revivallifestyleapparel.com. And you get invited to our Thursday at 1:30 p.m. prayer calls. It's better to do it on the website because YouTube takes a 30% cut. So if you're a member on YouTube, do it on the website. It's better. Some people want the emoji, so they give $5 on YouTube and then they go to the website and do whatever their donation is, their monthly. But guys, please pray about it. We want to keep doing this full time. I don't want to take sponsorships. I don't know if we will have to do that in the future because like I said, you know, it's up and down, but I don't want to have to do that. But there may be a time where we have to. And I know you guys won't mind if I have a 30-second ad read where I'm like, hey, this product is sponsoring our stream. I know you guys wouldn't care if I did it, but I want to just stay where we don't have to charge for e-courses. We don't have to charge for content. Those of you in the chat that can't afford to give, I don't ever want you to miss anything. I don't want anyone who can't afford to sow to miss any content. I want them to be able to have all the same content, which is why, again, we've never done the e-course thing. I pray that I never have to. I don't ever want to have to eat my words where one day I will have to charge for e-courses. If that's what it comes down to, it's what it comes down to. But as of now, I thank all of you for supporting and partnering and giving our resources to the Lord. And I thank the Lord that he uses you guys to sow into us. But I'm trusting in God to bring in the finances, to bring in the resources to us keep doing this. So there's all the links to give. You can give on my website. You can give on Venmo, PayPal, or Cash App, or Zelle. It's all there. It's linked in the comments. I appreciate all of you guys. I will read off stream tomorrow. I'll probably read them on stream. Tonight, I want to hang out for a few minutes and talk. Jared and Candace will be going live in about 10 minutes with prayer and worship. Especially after hearing this sermon tonight, I would highly advise staying on tonight for Jared and Candace's prayer and worship stream and just letting the Lord search your heart. Letting the Lord search your heart, all right? So, yes, let the Lord search your heart during prayer and worship tonight. All right. No, there was no ads. Oh, if you're saying there's an ad, it's when we're not live or our videos. That's what YouTube ads puts the ads on. I'm talking about like a sponsored ad where I say this video is sponsored by so-and-so. I'm not talking about the YouTube ads. YouTube puts ads on because our channel is monetized, but our live streams, we have no monetization on them. So we don't put ads in our lives, which YouTube lets you and you make a lot more, but we don't do that because I don't want to be live and preaching. And then all of a sudden you get an ad. That's to me lame. But anyways, our book's also out. Hold on. Thank you, guys. If you haven't got it, it's on Amazon, How to Cast Out Demons. Everything you need to know about deliverance. You can get this book now on Amazon, linked in the description. If you have any questions, let me know. Okay, tomorrow night, I'm glad you have questions. Demon Slayer podcast. First of all, pray for me tomorrow. I have 3 interviews. 2 of them are for Christian television. Another one's for a Christian radio show. I have 3 interviews back-to-back tomorrow for like over 3 hours. So please pray. It's going to be a long day. And then I have a podcast as well. So I'm going to be live like 4 to 5 hours tomorrow. So just pray for me. Strength, revelation, wisdom, all of that. It's not easy going to these interviews. I don't even know half the people and they're asking all these questions and you're on live on air and all that. Just so pray for me. But tomorrow night we'll have the Demon Slayers on. That's Pastor Vlad, Pastor Mike, and Pastor Alexander Pagani. They're all going to be on the podcast tomorrow. We're going to be on all of our channels. There's going to be, we anticipate 4,000 to 5,000 people on the live with all of our channels. So if you have questions for us, this is your most controversial questions answered. Nothing is off limits. As open and transparent as we could possibly be, we're not going to dodge anything. Ask your questions on the flyer that I posted on Instagram, Facebook, and my YouTube community page. Put your question in the comments. Or, if you want to remain anonymous, tomorrow go to my Instagram story and I'll have a thread. You can ask your question on the Instagram thread. And I'll take the most juicy, controversial questions, and we're going to answer them and have dialogue and talk and hang out, and it's going to be a great time. That'll be tomorrow at 6 o'clock, same place. In 10 minutes, Jared and Candace will be live with worship and prayer. I'll post a link to that in a few minutes, and then if you stay on, the stream will redirect you there, okay? Pray, guys. Pray about sowing and giving and becoming a monthly partner, especially for next year. We've lost a lot of sponsorships just because that's what it is. People sponsor for a year or two and then they cancel, which is totally fine. But we just need people to continue to partner with us so you can do all that in the links and all that stuff, okay? Any questions or anything you guys want to talk about tomorrow? And I read the comments, by the way. I've been reading all the comments tonight. As I'm preaching, I'm reading comments. So you think I've never read your comment? It's likely I've read your comment. Craig, for sharing the favor over you. Thank you, Kristen. Just because I don't read your comment on the stream, I'm reading your comments as the live's going. All right, you guys are awesome. All right, all right, all right. When are you coming to the Way World Outreach? I don't have a date as of now, but I will be back there. Oh, let me give you guys a few dates that I do have. So really quickly, you can write these down. Here we go. I have January 19th, Lifesong Church in Stockton, California. 5 services, January 19th. Let me see if I can remember all the times. 8:15, 9:30, 11, 12:30, and 2. Well, look at that. I memorized all of them. Those are all 5 services I'll be preaching. I'll have my book there as well if you want to pick up a copy in person. And then January 26th, I'll be in Mesa, Arizona at Without Walls Church. And then March 16th, I'll be at the North Georgia Revival Christ Fellowship Church in the morning and at night. All of these will be on my website soon, and I'll share more. My mom said, I love you, son. We were so blessed by the message tonight. So profoundly proud of you. Thank you, Mom. I love you so much. Love you, love you, love you. Thanks for all the support. Is there a church in Stockton that does deliverance? Yes, Lifesong. Lifesong does deliverance. I seriously just want to get on the map, to get on map. I'm partnered and so excited to be here. Thank you, Renee. Fill out an application and we will get you on. Fill out an application, okay? All right. Use your talents. Amen. All right, Isaiah, I just have to say your book was an answer to prayers. We've been looking for a book that's clear-cut and explains things in a way that people are learning about deliverance. Can understand. It's perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Ariel. That is my goal of the book. It's to make it simple, easy to understand, clear-cut. All the lessons are there. You can teach from it. So yes, thank you so much. That's an answer to prayer. Oh, tomorrow is any question. Any question. Will you do a studio tour? For what? What do you mean? What studio? What studio? Thanks, Jared. Complimenting my shirt. Awesome teaching night. Thank you, Tanya. Thank you, Tanya. You like that? See that there? Saying your name right, finally. Your book's awesome. Thank you, Josiah. I've never been so excited to say Tanya in my life. And I hope I'm saying it right. Tanya, right? Let me know in the comments. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. We will not be live Thursday. We'll be with the family for Thanksgiving. But I'll probably go live, I don't know, someday. I'll be live tomorrow night and then maybe sometime this week or night or whatever. Gave your book to the neighbor. She's blown away. That's amazing. Thank you so much. Go watch my spiritual gifts video if you're curious about spiritual gifts. All right, so let's read this comment. This guy doesn't cast out demons. He doesn't hear from God, lowercase g, which you're right, I don't hear from the lowercase g God. He's never seen anything supernatural. He's never healed anybody. He's a liar trying to sell DVDs and books and whatever else he could. Thank you so much, Ramaron, for your beautiful, lovely, nice comment there. I don't have DVDs because it's 2024 and people don't use DVDs, but thank you, brother. Whoever is out there selling DVDs, you kind of gave away your age there, but yeah, I don't know who's selling DVDs anymore. He said, Lewis. All right. Thanksgiving's pagan. This channel is lost. It's so sad. Wow. I literally say happy Thanksgiving and I get Thanksgiving's pagan. I love, number one, I love blocking people. It's so fun, but I love all the lurkers in the comments that are just ready to be like, you're false, Thanksgiving's pagan. It's so funny. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. All right. It's like, happy Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's pagan. This channel's so lost. I have 2,200 videos of preaching the raw gospel and yet I said Happy Thanksgiving. And because I said Happy Thanksgiving, your response is, this channel is so lost. That just is where the world's at right now. Like, some of you are just troll so hard. You're just so miserable with your life. It's like, it makes me actually smile and laugh. Yeah, that guy's like, you just want to sell DVDs. Bro, I literally don't have any DVDs. What are you even talking about? You're delusional. I know you guys block people way sooner than I do, but I do enjoy still clicking it, even though they're already blocked. Hilarious. I actually do like reading the negative comments because it brings me some humor. It brings me some laughter. Are you reading Facebook? Yes, Blanc, I'm reading Facebook. Brought me out of retirement. Let's go. Really appreciate you. Thank you. Your screen name is Black Guy. So I'm just saying thank you, Black Guy, but I'm not saying that in a racist way. Your actual screen name on YouTube is Black Guy. Maybe put your name so I don't have to say thank you, Black Guy. But thank you, Black Guy. Appreciate you, bro. All right. Yeah, this guy's like, he just wants to sell his DVDs. I'm like, bro, this must be your first time at the channel. Yeah, I saw the TD Jakes thing. I don't know what is going on with that. I don't have an update. I don't know, like, TD Jakes personally. So, yeah, I'm not sure. VHS, yeah. Yeah. Tanya, I would never be embarrassed. I want to pronounce everybody's name right. I don't want to pronounce anyone's name wrong. If I'm ever pronouncing your name wrong, tell me. I don't ever want to pronounce anyone's. So, yeah, I'm not embarrassed at all, and I'm glad that I'm saying it right now. And I like your actual name, Tanya, way better than your fake name I used to call you for, like, 6 months. If you guys don't know, I'd always call Tanya Tanya, and she never corrected me for, like, the last 6 months. And I found out today that it's Tanya. And yeah, I like your new name, your actual name better. It's way cooler. So there's that. Bro said you're out selling. All you care about is selling DVDs. That's so funny. When are you having Alyssa on? Whenever she wants to be on. Comes a shout out, Black Guy. Yeah. Keep on being joyful. Thank you. I am. We're going to be going here in 3 minutes, okay? So I'll type it in here, going here in 3 minutes. If you're on Facebook, here's the link. Don't be scared. There it is. We're going to be going there in 3 minutes for worship and prayer. I need this laugh. I got you, Jessica. I'm telling you guys, listen. One of my side quests, my side missions, is going to be doing a comedy stand-up show. I don't care what anybody says. Oh, Isaiah, is doing comedy stand-up. It's going to be Christian comedy. It'll either be a stream or we're going to do it live. I don't know. But we're going to do it. I don't care. I like being funny. It's clean humor. Don't worry. People are going to criticize me. Join the club. It's all good. But we're going to do that at some point. You've made my day. I'm glad. I'm glad that I'm finally calling you the right name. Should Christians be having a glass of wine? I don't think so. But yes, one day we will do a comedy stream and all of the Pharisees could get mad, make videos, and tune out. But some of you will laugh and it will be fun. Because I enjoy making people laugh. It's fun. As long as our words aren't idle and empty. All right, amen. Oh, there's literally a Tanya in the chat. Tanya, your name is great. Tanya Turner, your name is great. All right, great names. Tanya and Tanya, both great names. I love you both. Love you both in the chat. I'm getting myself in trouble here. I think all the names are great. Therese, Ginger, Cindy, Jenna, Jennifer, Debbie, Jessica, Connor, Troy, you're all great. I love all the names. It's going to be huge. We're going to all the greatest names ever. We've never seen any names this great. Greatest names in history in the chat. Oh, yeah. They'll be so mad. They'll be like, oh, now he's making comedy. Now he's making people laugh. At this point, they're kind of like they've made 100 videos about how I believe Christians could have demons. So I think we just need to help them out. Sid Roth was a CD set. It was audio CDs. I'm pretty sure there was never a DVD. But it's just still funny that people are saying I'm trying to sell DVDs when the Sid Roth is not even mine. It's their ministry, not mine. But I've already talked about that before. Guys, I literally am selling a book. I have a book. I'm just going to make this very clear to you guys. I have a book right here. Hold on, let me do it this way. Oh, wait, nope, wrong one. I have a book right here. I'm selling this book. This book costs money to print. You have to pay to get this printed. These pages, it all costs money. See all that? And it's being sold on Amazon. So I I'm not shying away. I'm literally selling a book. Here it is. I'm not against merchandise or any of that, just to be clear. Literally selling a book. Someone said, you pagan comedian selling DVDs. Exactly. Oh, you got my Audible book? Thank you. Don't judge me. I've never read it. I didn't even know how to read an audiobook. I was just like, I just read it. But I didn't like do any pronunciation or the voices. I didn't know. I just did it. So yeah, the audiobook is me. Yours truly. Yeah, they're going to be like, Isaiah. Actually, you know what? Now that I say it, they're going to do it. But no heresy hunters have made a video about my book. When are the heresy hunters? And I know you're in the chat because you react to all my stuff. So you have to be here. You post clips of my after stream. So you literally have to be here. Please, heresy hunters. Please. All the heresy hunters, please. Make a reaction video about how false I am. And please use my book so we can get more people talking about it. More publicity. Thank you. Appreciate that. Please, heresy hunters, do a book review and tell everyone how you don't believe in deliverance more. We haven't heard you say it 400 times, so please say it more. Thank you. All right. Yes, we are going to be... Yes, Jared and Candace will be live in a couple minutes here. I have their page up, so they will be live soon, and we'll be going there. Right when they go live, we'll be going there, okay? Yeah, I read slow. They didn't want me to be like... And they don't want me to talk so fast. Yeah, I don't know why. They're late. They're behind. Maybe they haven't got their book yet. I'm surprised they haven't jumped on it and made a video. Free content for them. They might as well make a video about it. Got to keep paying those bills. Make a video so we can keep paying your bills, please. I love your sarcasm. Thank you. Mail them the book. No, they could buy it. They could buy it on Amazon. At least I'll get something finally from them. All right. You still have the bobblehead? Yes. Actually, I have a new one. I haven't showed you guys my new one. So I have this one somebody sent me. Okay. And then I went and preached at a church and they gave me one too. They made me one. They didn't know I had this one, but they made me another one, which I need to get it to show you guys. I won't tonight because the stream's over, but maybe tomorrow night. All right. Love you guys. Thank you for all the advertisement this week. I guarantee Harris Sanders will come out with a video this week on the book. So I appreciate that. Please do. Thank you. Love you guys. And I'll see you guys tomorrow night at 6. Go to Jared and Candace's now. I'm just going to say go here and post the link. There you go. Love you guys. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content, and please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.